Last Tuesday night, we usually have a prayer meeting on Thursday nights or on Wednesday nights, but we did it on Tuesday night, and I don't know exactly what sparked everything, but my approach to it is after our Bible, our prayer meeting, whatever we had on Wednesday night or Tuesday night, after it was over with, I thought this has got to be one of the strangest things that I have ever been a part of, and there was the spirit was such that it was like, you know, they're men, but it was like instead of being adults, they're like little kids. There was a excitement in the scriptures. We're talking, you guys remember what I'm talking about? There was an excitement, like little tiny kids. And I could feel that for a long time after everybody was gone. I just could feel it. It's like, that's what God wants. He wants us excited. And when I see the little ones up here dancing, and you know, that's what church is. And they brought the little ones to Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples, being older people and bothered by the habits and what little ones do, they said, send them away. And he said, no, don't do that. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I think we got a little taste Tuesday night of what the kingdom is like. And there wasn't any arguments or nothing on the scriptures. It was just this togetherness, just in this agreement. And I loved it. I think God's letting us get a little bit of a taste of what is coming. Throughout all of eternity, it's going to be something like that. We'll have the Bible says that we're supposed to be converted and become as little children in Matthew 18:3. Be converted and become as little children. Well, I think that's kind of what's happening to us. The older I'm approaching 82, but I'm more like about 8, you know. And I am. I'm not old. I'm young. And with an old body. That's, you know. But anyway, In Matthew 6:33 is kind of the nature of the message that I want to bring tonight, and what I'm going to call it, First Things First. That's tonight, and God has an agenda. He has what he wants us to do, and it's hard for us to get to his picture, to get to start seeing things from his perspective. But we think, you know, when the Bible says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we think that means find a good church someplace. And unfortunately, that's not what it means. It may have something to do with church, but for the most part, it's the attitude that God wants us to have towards his upcoming kingdom. And, you know, I had a dream 50 years ago. And in that dream, an angel stood before me and said, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Well, like the Apostle Paul, where he said, well, and we which are alive and remain. Well, he wasn't one of them. But it sounded like from his perspective, he thought that was going to happen in his day. And from the experience I had, I thought that this is really going to be soon. Well, that was 50 years ago. But I don't think it's a long ways away. I think it's approaching because of the things that God is beginning to reveal to us. And there's something in me that wants to seek first God's kingdom And not only his kingdom, but his type of righteousness. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, and he says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them through your truth. Well, if we start changing the word in any way, make it say something else, we don't have the foundation for sanctification. And so God wants us to find out what his truth is. That's why we have that sign up here, or the scripture verses up in the front. And God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to know what the truth is. And the truth is what God meant by what he said. It's not the way that men have interpreted it sometimes. Truth is what God meant by what he said in his word. And so, anyway, I'm excited. And I was excited, and I saw these little ones up here dancing with their banners and whatever, and they can do that anytime they want. I love it.
Lord, yes.
I keep thinking about loving Jesus and you know, on how to love him, and do I love him enough? Do I even love him at all? I know Jesus is a man, but it's a little easier to love you guys. You know, this is because I can see you, I can talk to you, I can see your expression when I'm talking, and whatever else. I'm a man also. It's a little easier. And I don't think there's nothing wrong about that. That's just but we know, you know, we do know Jesus, and we know everything that we need to know about him. We do know. You can love him by that. But as I, you know, listen to the scriptures, all of a sudden, or even as I'm not listening to the scriptures, you know, the scriptures are doing a work. And you know, Jesus says several times, and other scriptures says, you know, about Jesus. He's the, you know, he's divine, and he's all kinds of things. But he's truth. Jesus is truth. And I am the truth. I am the way. And the God of word, God's word is truth. You know, and you might receive a love for the truth, that you might be saved. Well, so who's going to save you? The truth or Jesus? And it's like, well, Jesus is truth. But men don't love Jesus. They don't even love the truth. So, and long story short, I'm finding comfort in the fact that I do love the truth.
Lord, yeah.
And if I love the truth, I love Jesus. There's no, I can't love the one and not love the other. And if I love Jesus, I love the Father. You know, you don't love Jesus. You don't love, I mean, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you hear me, you've heard the Father. If you accept me, you accept the Father. So anyways, not because I'm a lover of the truth does not make me knowledgeable in truth. I think it's a, I don't know how to put this in words, but there's a bit of a difference. It's like to love the truth is a verb, it's an action, it's a seeking. You seek the truth. But if you confess that you have truth and that you are right, I think that's not the right thing. That's why Jesus says to the Pharisees, because you say, I see, your sin remains. And the fact that they say, I see, what they're saying is that they're saying, I understand, I know, I got it. Mm-hmm. And we do understand, and we do get it, but it's a different concept. This truth is a different concept. I love the truth, and you know, not a lot of people love the truth, really. And in the Gospel of John, you know, men love darkness. It's a huge, it's a big deal to love truth and to want truth. It's a big deal. And just like loving Jesus, you know, that's why narrow is the gate, because most men love darkness. Anyways, I just wanted to say that I'm starting to feel comfort in the fact that I understand that I can love Jesus by loving the truth. You know, I don't see Jesus as a man next to me or touch him, but loving the truth. I do love the truth and I want the truth, and which makes me love Jesus.
Glory.
Yeah, I think Pablo just kind of hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
That was good, Pablo. It's good to see Miguel and Jackie. Keith was talking about Tuesday night, and that's right. There was a kind of a simplicity or something, wasn't there? Simple as in pure and unadulterated.
Yeah.
You know, that's, it was and childlike. Well, okay. Yeah. You start growing up, you get complicated, and that's no good. So, no, it was good. One of the things that I think Gorky and Ken and I, we all kind of together, we were all contributing to it. We're talking about the marriage at Cana. And we were, first of all, kind of puzzled by Jesus telling Mary, don't you know my hour's not come yet, you know? When Mary said, they need wine here. He said, woman, don't you know my hour's not come yet? Which is a little bit of a funny thing for him to say. But didn't bother her. She said, she told the servants, whatever he says to do, go ahead and do it, you know. And then pretty soon he tells them to put water in these things, and then he turns it into wine, you know. And what we all together, and it was a nice meshing of our contributions. Jesus didn't know he was about to do something. You know, he didn't know. He thought his hours had not yet come. Well, it came. It came real soon. You know, Jesus didn't know it, but Mary seems to have known it. Mary knew it. You know. Mary had spiritual insight that Jesus didn't. And then that it kind of came to Jesus too, and he told them to fill up those great big bottles. And one thing, you know, that was a whale of a lot of water that he. I don't know what they were going to do with all that wine. But anyway, that's another matter. I have been kind of carrying that whole idea that there were some things that Jesus didn't know until he knew them. Some things that maybe other people, Mary, did know and before him, you know. And that's been an idea that I've been kind of carrying this week. And I caught the scriptures here. And there's a place in Mark which struck me kind of along those lines. Let me find it. I had it. Well, okay. Jesus tells the man with the palsy that his sins are forgiven. And there were some scribes there, and they said, hey, this man speaks blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They didn't say it, but they were thinking it. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, that sounds very much like what happens with a man. You know something in the spirit. Before that happened, you didn't know it in the spirit, but then he knew something in the spirit. If he's God, he's omniscient, all that stuff. But no, that wasn't what happened with Jesus. The Spirit caused him to know something. Didn't cause him to know everything, but he knew that particular thing.
That's good.
Yeah. And it's just another aspect somehow of the humanity of Christ. Humanity, of course, involves not knowing some stuff. Not knowing it. Also involves knowing it. But the stuff he didn't know.
I just wanted to mention to Miguel, Andrea and Jackie, that we're comfortable with things, so don't worry about it. Don't let them be anxious over it. Just assure them that we understand.
I'm going to say the two things I want to mention, so if I say I can't remember the other one, you remind me. I'll address what Charlie was at, but I also want to go back to what Pablo brought about love for the truth. So, I was thinking again as Charlie was bringing that, and it was funny. We kind of got to the end, and we were just kind of like, kind of like little kids, giddy, kind of. Because it was like the Spirit kept putting little things from each one and then said, and here's what we have now, I mean, that situation, because Jesus said, now is not the hour, and then Mary said, do whatever he says. Well, some of the consensus was, the Holy Spirit was working with Mary. And God was saying, yes, son, I said, this is not, but now I'm going to kind of tweak this and change it a little and involve your mother here and give her an insight, and then I'm going to tell you to act on it. And that was all the Father working, And see, you can't ever put him in a box. Because by rights, if Jesus said not, then Mary should not have ever said that.
No, that's
right. And so it was such a neat little thing that God revealed this. And who knows, is it really that important? Well, it is, because you're learning the attributes of your Father, and how he works with us, So that was it was a good time. I think there was some other thing we probably touched on too, but I can't remember now. So, but I was sitting there and I was thinking about a love for the truth. There are lots of men in the world and humanity that wants to find truth, and they seek, thinking that it'll change the world, and the thing is, no matter what they come up with, will never completely change the world, because there's just too many different aspects of people's thinking and everything else. And then there's also this one who rules this earth that puts them in darkness. That's why it says some love darkness and some seek the light. And so if you don't believe there's a God or anything else, you'll just keep looking for some kind of truth that nobody will ever agree on in the world. You might find some that'll agree with you, but not the world. Well, even this truth that we're seeking, the world isn't going to all accept it. But think about if you're looking for a truth that gives you eternal life. Not just a nicer place here on this earth that some people learn to love one another more, whatever. No, you're gaining an opportunity for eternal life. Now, what's greater than that? And if you come to that place, then you realize what truth could be more important. And then you want to know, God, what is the truth you have? And He wants to share them. That's the good thing, grand thing.
Yes.
He's not trying to hold it back and you better do this and maybe you'll earn it. No. It's like, no, if you just have a love to want to know what His truth is, and what greater motivation than to have eternal life? You know? And that, see, that's the difference. When God touched hearts right from the beginning, what Jesus as His, you know, as an evangelist and whatever, His son, it caught that in certain hearts. And immediately, they wanted to know more. They wanted to know, because they'd been told, I mean, as far as the Jews are concerned in Israel, they'd been told and told and told that there was a Messiah coming that was going to redeem Israel. And even by some of those same prophets, which they probably ignored and didn't look at or want to look at, it also promised that the Gentiles were going to receive this tremendous truth and gift. And so then when that started to come about, well, of course it created problems, you know, because some loved darkness and some wanted the light. And the ones that wanted the light, I mean, when Jesus first called some of those disciples, there was no hesitation. They just went, you know. And once that triggers that in your heart, you're just going to keep wanting to go.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
And of course, like we say all the time, He's only given us a little tidbits of truth. But look at how excited we've been.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. By those little truths. Because any truth is worth more than anything else, actually, if it's a truth from God. You know, and some might argue, but there is no in between. There's either truth or there's not. If you really think about that, it's either truth or it's not. There can't be an in between, because then you're just making up. Or I don't even know if you can make up something in between. You know, it's just is or not. So then it's like, so do you want to know the real truth? And who knows why? You know, it's up to the mercy and grace of God.
Yes.
Who gets that desire?
Right.
And so, for us, it's like, we don't know why God chose us. He knows something. We're starting to maybe understand a little bit more now that maybe why He chose us. You know, and we want to be careful with that, because it's not because we're special.
No.
It's because we're very unspecial. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I think that as we look back, we humbled ourselves. You know, and because this church went through a lot of things, and if you couldn't finally say, Lord, where were we wrong? None of this would have happened. I don't think. It took us saying, okay, what better way is there now? And we don't want to quit. We messed up, but we don't want to quit. You know? And we want to learn by what we messed up in. And that's one of the things that we've gained a lot in.
Yeah.
I mean, I know God's shown me areas where I was wrong. You know? And And fortunately showed some of them to me in time for me to let my wife know I was wrong, you know, before she passed. And so to have a love for the truth is that's the walkway to eternal life.
Yeah, it was good Tuesday night. And I think all of us knew at the end that the Spirit was there.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, well, once you've tasted it and you know what it's like, you can only say, the Spirit was here. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit was there. That was good. Pablo, what a really great opening comment. You know, I agree with everything that you brought. The thought that came to me, and Brother Ken just touched on it, was truth. I mean, if you would have asked me when I first started coming to this church in the early 80s, if I was seeking truth, I would have told you, absolutely. I'm cracking that Bible all the time. We're talking about stuff all the time. In fact, I had never been in a church that talked more Bible and more scriptures than this one. But that wasn't truth. That was just words in a book. And what's happened to us from then to now is, now God is leading us, and now we have the real truth. And you can read the Bible and you can get facts. Truth. One of our discussion points Tuesday night was Jesus was from Nazareth. He was a Nazarene. And I kind of did a little bit of digging on that to find out, yeah, the Old Testament, we couldn't find where that, and we were trying to, you know, Jesus always validated everything from the old to the new, but we didn't see a lot of references from the prophets about Jesus being in Nazareth. But there's a lot of mention of that in the New Testament, because that's how they kept putting Jesus down, is how could we, why do we have to listen to this guy? Because he's the son of a carpenter. Therefore, he can't be the Messiah. He's the son of the carpenter. You know, and they put this natural barrier up. And you go, well, if you look at it in the natural, yeah, it's hard to be a God if you're a son of a somebody. You know, it just doesn't work very well. But it's important to know that he's a son of man. And we spent a lot of time on that. And I think that's when we got kind of excited, because then we realized, as it's been mentioned, that if you carefully look, and the Spirit helps you, there are instances through Jesus' walk where he doesn't know what he's going to be doing next, because he's basically waiting on the Father to tell him. And there's times when he's thinking he knows what the Father's going to ask him to do. He's really asking the Father to come up with a different plan. If possible, take this cup from me. So there were times when he had a little bit of revelation and he wasn't really looking forward to that. But as we just said, at the end, he humbles himself, but whatever, thy will be done. You know, God is good all the time. You know, I didn't start out that way. I should have. But we're on this walk, and we get these little bits of things, and the Spirit tells us this, and it kind of drops in. And if we truly start out every day by repenting and approaching it like we don't know, and know that he will teach us and give us what we need to know, we're going to love Jesus, and we're going to love the truth, and it's going to be God's truth. It's not going to be words on a page. It's going to be the Spirit.
Yes.
And, you know, like I said, I was I was sharing with Keith just before service this morning. I said, you know, if you'd come to me even after I'd been here 15 plus years and then said to me, we're going to focus solely on listening to the scriptures day and night, and have meetings about listening to scriptures day and night, and then talk about what we've heard listening to the scriptures day and night, and we're going to testify about listening to the scriptures day and night, and then we're going to tell everybody else what are we doing, and we're going to tell them we're doing the same thing. It's one thing, and it's seeking the truth through the scriptures. And then if you were going to tell me that after doing that for 20 years, you would conclude, I don't know much. I don't know much. I need, every day, I need the Spirit of God to come and open up something else. So in other words, you can work really, really hard for 20 years in the natural, and you're going to have bupkis. Because you don't get it. You don't get it. You get it when God gives it to you through the Spirit. And you can't works your way there, you can't Bible study your way there, you can't prayer warrior your way there, you can't mission your way there, you can't give your way there. You only get there when God gets you there. And the only reason God is going to get you there is because you're waiting on Him. And your heart is open, and you know where He is, and you're looking for that truth. And you're looking for that truth from Him. Now, we just said that we can get truth from others. We can have anointing can be passed and shared. And that's why body ministries like this and times we get together are so fruitful. Because God is not giving everything to one person and then it's being distributed. It's not what He's doing. Because we're all in a different place. And that's why you see people who you don't know or think, you know, if you were to make the mistake and pass a judgment, even fleeting, like, I don't know how their walk is doing, and then they can come and boom, and they give you something like, I had no idea, I didn't have that. I don't know where that came from. I would say, probably not from Him, but God in him. And we have to be open to that. As Brother Ken mentioned, we probably were really ripe to be good seeds after having to get humbled really hard because, you know, when you're that high up and you're that close and you're talking about the elite of those, I mean, one of our best bad teachings was how we're going to be bride. I mean, everybody's going to get in, but then inside of that group, we're going to be here because we're talking about it and we know. You know, I used to tell myself, if I'm the last one in before the door closes and I'm in glory, that's all I want. Yeah. I don't know if there's a difference between, you know, second right or last one in the door if I understand the glory of God the way I understand it. Now, maybe there is, and okay, fine, and that's not meaning I'm going to compromise and only try and squeak by. But I'm just saying, I don't know, if the glory of God is the glory of God, I think second one in behind Jesus to last one in, I think it's pretty flat. It's all the same. That's where I'm at today. I could be wrong.
Glory.
But it's not just seeking the truth. It's seeking God's truth.
Amen.
And you cannot overemphasize that. Because I had truth. I knew how many books there were in the Bible. Sometimes got confused with Kings and Saul. But, you know, I knew books, and I knew this, and I knew that, and da-da-da-da-da. I had all sorts of facts and figures and da-da-da. That was not the truth that God wanted me to have. God wants me to know Him, and the only way I can know Him is if I'm open to the Spirit, and the only way I can do that is humble myself, ask for forgiveness, and approach Him like I don't know it.
Thank you. God bless you.
I've been thinking the last couple of mornings about what I've been hearing over and over, and this is in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John went into the temple. Peter and John were about to go into the temple, and there was a man that was lame from his mother's womb, and he was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms, for charity. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood, and he walked, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And when they knew it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They were amazed. Can you imagine? Just for a minute now, let's just say that just happened. Can you imagine? The wonderment, the amazement. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, let's start a new movement. Let's start a radio ministry. Let's broadcast." No, no, no. When Peter saw it, he said, "Ye men of Israel, why are you marveling at this? Why are you looking so earnestly on us as though by our own power?" And you know what? I've always stated that phrase, as if by our own power. But you know what else he says? Or holiness. By our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk. And then he goes on to say the God of Abraham. He uses this as an opportunity to preach to them and to go back to the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. The God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus. He starts preaching Jesus to him. Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. So, one thing that really struck me is, let's imagine for a minute that this happened among us. What would we be so quick? And actually, this is where I see us getting to. There's no way. In Christianity, we're so eager, just the humanity, the humanness of us. We want to lay claim on it. There's got to be some reason why he chose me to heal the man. Do you know what I'm saying? There's got to be something about me. No, there's nothing about me. But what there is, I'm going to scoot back to John. Dad and I talked about this week a little bit. John 14 and 15 have just really been hitting me. And Pablo, I've got an answer for you. In John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." We're going to dwell in the man that keeps my words. Not only Jesus, but the Father will make their abode. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So, you're right. It's either you are or you aren't. There isn't in between. Anything that's kind of sort of in between falls into the no category. You know? And it's not my idea. That's what it is. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And then I'm going to scoot down. There's so much good stuff in here. Chapter 15. And this is Jesus saying, "I am the vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he's going to take away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he's going to purge it." So this is what we're signing up for. Prepare to be purged.
Yeah.
So what we're signing up for. Because as is, isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
The purging is going to show us who we aren't. Even though the world wants to tell us, look at how wonderful you are, this word is going to purge us. So that we can say, oh, don't be confused at who did this. Who did this healing or whatever. Has nothing to do with me or my holiness or by my own works. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I see those two settings really tying in together. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And there's just a whole lot more here. But I haven't counted, but how many times does he say over and over and over, abide in me, keep my commandments. You can ask what you shall, and you're going to receive. And this is what I felt really impressed upon this morning. That today, the scripture is being fulfilled. In us.
You know, there's a difference when you hear the scriptures being read from an earthly person, than from a heavenly person. It's different.
Yes.
The same passage, the same scripture, the same book, you can hear from a to say a news broadcaster. That means, you know, you listen to it and you learn, but when I hear from here, the script is different. It's not the same. Trust me. It is not. Scriptures are good no matter who reads them, but there's a different Jesus spirit. Yes. There's a different.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys know the story about the bird that we have anyways. Our bird found a new best friend in Miguel.
Bird found a new best friend.
And Miguel, yeah. Anyways, these are strange things that happened to me, and I don't know if it's... I'm not much into science or nothing really, but anyways, a couple of years ago, I went to Lake Michigan, and on my way back, and you know, you guys, I always listen to scriptures, always. And at this moment, I thought when I was driving back, I said, you know what? This was 2 years ago. I'm gonna listen to this one song I heard when I was that I used to like, really happy song. So I played it in my truck, okay? And all of a sudden, in my truck, a check engine light came on. Check engine. I'm like, there goes, you know, half my yearly salary. then the radio off, and a little bit later, check engine light came off. Yeah, whatever. Now, a couple of days ago, when we were coming back, so my truck is broke, the radio, so I can't listen to the scriptures on the radio. I use headphones, but now Eli's with me. I don't want to have headphones. And then in the boat, I can't listen to the scriptures with my headphones either. It'd be weird. So we bought this little speaker. So we fished for like 20 hours total, and we heard the scriptures in the boat. Why listen to anything else or nothing at all? Just listen to them. Anyways, I'm in my truck and I'm driving back and we have the speaker there. I said, I'm going to listen to this one song. And I played the song, and it's a really happy song, whatever. I had a check engine light. Honest. Check engine. And I'm like, oh, again, you know, here we go. And there goes thousands of dollars. Song is over, and check engine is over. Anyways, I'm not into anything, you know, spooky. I don't know like that, but I don't know. Check engine, check engine.
As Shelley was talking, I got an understanding of something that happened to me, it happened in this church a number of years ago, but Twyla had a vision, and I've shared this with her a few times, and anyway, in the vision, she saw me standing somewhere towards the back of the church with a sharp sword, and I was whacking people with it, you know, cutting people with a sword. Well, the Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So then when the Word became so strong upon this church, upon me, and we started listening to the Scriptures, and a number of people left, and which is kind of what happened in the vision. There were people that left, and people were being cut. But anyway, the Bible says in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, that the Word of God is it's quick and it's powerful, but it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I realize what the Word of God does, as Shelley was talking here this morning. It prunes.
Uh-huh.
It prunes. The branches on the tree that bear, He prunes. So they bear more fruit. And that's what the Word of God is doing to us right now. It is pruning us. You follow what I'm saying? It's cutting. It's still sharp. As a matter of fact, it's not any duller than it was years ago. God is sharpening it. He's making it sharper. And it's working on us and cutting on us, but you know what? That's for our eternal benefit.
Lord.
Let God do to us whatever He needs to do for our sakes. Whatever He has to cut away. I realize that church is not the place where you necessarily find the kingdom. You could. You know, some people say, well, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God because I go to church. But that's not it. You seek first the kingdom of God because you obey His word and you draw close to Him. That's how you do it. And there's a big key in that thing. When you not only you seek first the kingdom of God, but you seek His righteousness, His truth, what He says, what He meant by what He said, not by what I interpreted Him to mean, but what the Holy Spirit reveals. That's what you go by. That's what truth is. That's what righteousness is. God wants a righteous people. And you know what? He knows who they are. He's not going to be surprised in the day of judgment when the sheep are separated from the goats. He knows who they are. They might not even know themselves, because the Bible says they're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So some people could be really surprised in the day of judgment because they've been lied to. Because people told them, you know, you're fine, just do what you're doing, you're fine. But they weren't fine. They were deceived. And so, anyway, I thank God for His word.
I just had the Spirit do a real scenario with me while I've been sitting there. You know, it's so this is going to sound like, didn't I hear what Keith just said? You know, like the church isn't going to get you there. And I know that. But I sat there and I started thinking, so there's been a little conflict on what night we should meet for the men's thing. And I was sitting there and I thought, you know, when I come to church, I get edified, it takes me into Monday, but you know, I'm still so weak that it starts to wear off and the world starts coming in. And then I get to the men's meeting and I get boosted again and then it starts to wear off. So I'm sitting there and it's like, so if I'm having a little bit of a struggle with that happening, why would I want to make it less? Why would I want to eat less? And so it's like I've determined, I don't care what night you have it, I want to be there. It doesn't matter that I have to give up this other thing that is going to get me nowhere in eternal life. And so, you know, I'm not trying to toot my horn because it wasn't me. It was the Spirit working on me, and it just showed me that, you know, and Pablo brought up a thing the last time he was there about, you know, the body. You know, like, and I've been there too. It's like, no, I'll take care of myself. It's between me and the Lord. But we're all parts of a body of Christ, that He is the head. And there's an importance in that. And for one, His ministry has to have the whole body to go forward. And it says when you come together, you edify one another. Well, I always need edifying, believe me, you know. And so, yeah, I want to be a church and I want to be a, is it legalism? No way. And that is, in my, right now in my heart, there's no legalism. I want to be there. I need to be there for certain aspects. Now, if I miss a night, yeah, the world doesn't end for me, you know. But it's that wanting to have the extra food besides what I'm hearing to, you know, because when we came together, it was the body working to help us. Yeah. each one of us, you know. And I didn't we touch on the what was that? Somebody brought what the heck was it? It was because there was one other subject we kind of discussed, and I think it was something that we had talked about before, and we were asking ourselves, can't think of it now. So anyway, but it's like you know, it's getting to the point, and that's what the word is beginning to convict in me. It's really making me look at how much do I really want to be a part of this world, and how much do I want to be in the next world? And you know, and boy, you know, I'm human. I still give in, but the thought pattern is there so much more, and so much stronger, to keep kind of letting me not get washed away, you know, and keep me into this thing that is so important. And and what Corky said too, you can hear truth, but you need to hear the real truth. And having a love for the truth, you know, that if you have that, God kind of said, then you can't put parameters on it. You can't decide. He'll decide what truth to give you. You don't decide, you know. But if you have a love, then the door is open for that to come. And that's a really good illustration. And because you can read this, and you know, think about this. So, would you like to be the most intelligent person in the world? Would you like to be the richest person in the world? Would you like to be the strongest person in the world? Would you like to be the best looking person in the world? What will it get you? You might have some fame for the 70, 80 years you're on this earth, and then what? You know? And I still put importance on some of that stuff. That's why I go ride my bike like an idiot sometimes, you know? But, you know, like yesterday. Anyway, but you know, I that's one of the things I would be doing if I wasn't at the meet, and I decided that's not going to get me. What's that going to get me in the end? I want this food, this spiritual food, you know, that's coming. So as best as I can, I'm committed now. So.
Notice I didn't say totally.
I want to beat the drum a little more on what Pablo was bringing about. Do I love Jesus? Well, I do love the truth. And that, yeah. And therefore, and I think there was a blending there in some kind of way. You know? No. Yeah, I love Jesus. I love the truth. So I love Jesus. You know, I think that's right. I think that's right. And I was feeling the same, you know, what Ken was bringing, regarding what Pablo was bringing. Pablo was saying, you know, there's a difference between having the word read by someone else versus having the word being brought or read by someone who, yeah, is one of us, whatever, however you call it, is of the truth. And that is so right. That is so right. You know, having that, the sword of the Spirit being wielded by someone who knows what this thing is. You know what the sword of the Spirit is. That's different from someone who doesn't know what the sword's all about. It's just two different things. And it made me realize, it's just another way of saying what Ken was saying, but I feel so appreciative of being in with a group of people that are, you know, tied into the truth in this way. It's just a fine thing. I feel honored, and it is. It's edifying. It's edifying to, you know, but it. People are going through experiences that are very parallel with our own, and we build, you know, it's kind of an ascending ladder in some kind of way. It's just good. And as Ken was saying, we're just very fortunate. It's not because we're special. You know, that's not it. Yeah, that's it. It's good. I'm happy. And as Corky was bringing, you know, there's truth and then there's truth. It's just, you know, two different things. It's good. Yeah. You know, hey, it really is fine, Jackie. No, okay.
Just let me read a couple of scriptures really quick. If I can find them here. I have all I can do to see this. But anyway, here's what it says in the book of Revelation about Jesus. I just thought of it. I'm going to read just out of the concordance, and I don't have the rest of the scriptures to go with it, but I just want to read what it says. In Revelation 1:10, 1:16, it says, out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. Revelation 2:12, it says, in which he has a sharp two-edged sword. It says, he will fight against them. This is in Revelation, I'm not sure here, with a sword of something. Out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. Anyway, I can't see it.
Point to it. Tell me which one you want to read.
Okay, I'll show you where I'm at. It's right in here, but I can't see good enough with these glasses to tell you.
Okay. Revelation 1:16. Out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. 2:12. He which hath the sharp sword with two edges, 2:16 continues, will fight against them with the sword. So this is under the brandishing weapon sword. I think that's where you were. Sword of the mouth. Yes, on one, according to this, 1:16, out of his mouth went a two-edged sword.
That tells us a little bit about what we're talking about, the power of the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
Doesn't it say that he shall have the name, the Word of God, on his breastplate or something?
I just closed. It does.
It says it's
it does. Yeah. I'm not sure, Ken, if this is what you're referring to, but we did. Charlie kind of kicked off a thought about the revelation, how important the revelation is of Jesus being a man and not letting us be robbed, because Scripture says that we, you know, as Jesus said, God dwells within me and he can dwell within you, And we went through, walked through that whole thought pattern of, if you take away that Jesus is a man, then you take away the greatest claim where we can have God dwelling within us, as if through Jesus. And I'm not sure if that's the one you were thinking about.
Yeah, I think it is.
One thought came to me today while we were talking, and it's just a different visual on the theme of who He is, who He is, and where we are. Who are we compared to Him? And you know, I felt that Tuesday night, you know, I got like a drop. I got a drop of the Spirit.
Yeah.
I wasn't swimming in the living waters. I got just a drop.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know, we've had the Spirit upon us here, and we mucked it up because we didn't have the cornerstone of truth. But I was impressed with how good I felt with just a sprinkle.
Yes, glory.
With just a sprinkle, I'm thinking, you know, I want to think that I'm ready to be deluged with the Spirit. I'm going, I don't know yet. I'm not, you know, God's going to have to help me to be able to be in the living water and stay on course, you know. And so that was one of the thoughts I wanted to share, along with kind of adding that. We are nothing special, but I do humbly believe we're on a good track.
Yes.
I don't want to say we're on a better track, but God has this little group on a path, and He's illuminating that path as we need. And I think as long as we just... It's common in this world right now that the buzz phrase is stay in our lane. Just stay in our lane here. Don't try. And it's actually a very good reference for your Christian walk.
That's the idea of cross things.
I don't have to do a lot of things. I don't have to do a lot of things a lot of other religions or churches are going to tell you I have to do. I really just have to stay in my lane and keep looking for God through His Word with the Holy Spirit helping me.
Yes.
And it's really hard. I mean, we don't often reference it, but it comes to mind. It is in our nature to want to steady that arc. We so badly want to just give God a little helping hand.
Yeah.
Because we've got this rough corner here, and we know He doesn't really want it there, so we're just going to help Him a little bit. And that's when we fail. We don't go, that corner isn't, He doesn't need your hand, you need His hand. You know, and you just got to keep bringing back like, okay, am I going to wait? Am I going to let Him do it? Am I going to be in my lane? Am I going to continue to seek? Am I going to stay open? To the best of my abilities, yes, I am. And the best of my abilities means I'm going to fail an awful lot. As Brother Ken said, I'm going to commit to doing this. And then quite honestly says, not totally, because I'm not there yet. But, you know, God wants an opening in the door. You commit to the opening in the door, and you're faithful to that, He'll kick that door wide open.
Uh-huh.
Stay in your lane.
Why don't we come up to the front, unless somebody has something else? Let's all come up and pray together. Very encouraging this morning, and what I wanted to say, Corky, is that what you said was what I was trying to say.
Oh, okay.
I'm just teasing you. What you said was excellent. I was just going to say that's what I was meant to say.
What you meant to say. What I